we're diving into this week is in-game adjustments, and we've got an awesome group consulting going on as a cohort of coaches going through Mark's Rose series. We had a great cohort call, a great group consulting call on Tuesday about that. And so I want to share with you an approach as you get into the second half of your season in order to evaluate and address any in-game adjustments that you would like to make. So first off, as I always do, on the hours, I wanted to start off with a couple celebrations. And I really want to kick off a celebration. We've got some really good friends, and we've really enjoyed embarking on this journey of getting better at pickleball together. And as we've gone through this journey, it's been pretty amazing as I've been able to apply a lot of the things that I have learned and know about basketball to getting better at another sport. But it's also been really humbling to pick up something new later in life and start from zero and be not good at something and really become a learner again. And I want to celebrate my coach, my friend Kyle, who's actually become a professional pickleball player, as in him coaching me, I think it's made me a better coach of others as well. As I realize something that might be second nature to him as an expert, and something that might be obvious and simple or easy to him as an expert, is not simple or easy to me as a beginner. And things that will frustrate him as the expert actually make me play worse when he's frustrated with me as the player. And I think that's the first principle that I want to share today, coming out of that celebration, is don't add, just get better. Don't add, just get better. So the example of this is my coach, who's an expert, sees me playing and identifies skills or reads that I lack. And he wants to add solutions to problems. Whereas when I'm in matches and I'm in games, I'm not losing matches and games right now in pickleball because I don't have these additional skills. Like the lack of additional skills, the lack of additional solutions, the lack of additional reads are not what is causing me to lose games. What's causing me to lose games is I'm not performing the skills that I do have, the solutions that I do have, well enough. Yeah, in order for me to get to the next level, I've got to add some solutions. I've got to add some skills. For a basketball coach, you might have to add some wrinkles to your offensive and defensive systems. But my losses are coming from mistakes. Excuse me. My losses are coming from mistakes and not performing the skills that I already have. And that is the principle. Let me actually mark this now. The principle that savvy coaches need to remember is, don't add new solutions. Get better at what you're already doing. You have laid groundwork throughout your season of this is how we play offense. We're playing fast. We're playing with space. We're hunting advantages. We're getting into dominoes. We're improving our shot selection. You've been working for 3 months on establishing a style of play. It is not time halfway through the season to change your identity. It's not time halfway through the season to change what you're trying to get better at. It's time to double down on what you've already built. And now within that, you might add a new room, but you're not tearing down the house and go building a whole new house. You're not starting to dig a whole new foundation. And I think that that's a common error that too many coaches make when they hit a slump, when teams are starting to figure them out, when players aren't shooting well, when they want to add more solutions. And I think that I'm going to give you, I know that I'm going to give you 3 ways to actually do that today. But first, let me give you a really clear example. One of our coaches has run into some adversity. The team's doing well. His starting racker got injured. And then his backup racker got injured. He's down to 5 players that he can really rely upon and play. And so this coach reached out and said, Tyler, I don't know what to do. I know that we've been building this race and space offense for years, but now I'm worried about playing fast because we don't have any depth. And the top two engines of playing fast, they can actually hand the ball and play fast, are out. He said, do we just wait until they're healthy and put in a whole bunch of sets and slow down the game until they get healthy and get back for the end of our conference play? And I think that that question is very revealing, as it's one that we all hit sometimes when we just hit the panic button, when it's like, oh no, what do we do now? This thing is not working. And I want to encourage each of you, as I encouraged him, stick to what you're good at. Yeah, you might make some adjustments, make some tweaks, which we're gonna talk about right now, but don't go and build a new house. Keep building for the long term. When in doubt, zoom out. What are we trying to build as a program? What skill sets are we trying to develop in our players? What mindset are we trying to develop? And within the context of our identity, unless you've you're saying, hey, we're changing our identity, which I would not choose to do mid-season, I think you just get better at what you're good at. So here are three actionable ways to get better and not add. Again, the principle is don't add, get better. One, have more individual player conversations. Most coaches spend too much time talking to the team and not enough time talking to individual players. One-on-one conversations are how you can actually get the product on the floor to adjust, change, and be more dynamic. Here's an example. We need to get faster in our offense. We have to get up before more. We're getting some good race stuff, but we're not being opportunistic enough. It's time to have a one-on-one conversation with my racker. Hey, racker, this game, this practice, this quarter, this next possession, let's just see if you can get out and up two more steps before you receive that out of the pass. You're receiving it inside the three-point line most of the time right now. I want you to get out and up and try to get the ball a little bit faster. If you can win that two-step race, we're going to be two steps better in our transition, have two more seconds in order to create something in our seven-second game. Individual conversation, dragging. This game, this quarter, whatever. Can you get the ball out of the net on made shots without it hitting the ground? And can you get out of bounds on a dead sprint to urgently get us another half second on our race? One-on-one conversation. One-on-one conversation with our lock. Lock, I want to see if you can get five more rim runs this game than last game. I'm going to be watching, and your job is to get behind the defense and make a run at the rim. And you may not even get the ball, but if you can make five more rim runs, it's going to open something up for us and maybe even open up something for you. One-on-one conversations. One-on-one conversations with your porch player or your rabbit, whatever you're calling them. Can you set five more pin screens this game? Every time someone exits, set a pin screen. Every time we don't get a domino catch, set a pin screen. See if you can set five more pin screens or flares this game. So like, this isn't changing what we're doing, but these one-on-one conversations, the accumulation of them, are going to create more advantage and make what we're already doing better. Whereas if I talk to the whole team and say, we have to play faster, or we have to set more exit screens, that doesn't put the accountability on the individual, and your net gain will be less. One-on-one conversations. As you're thinking about how can I fix this thing, or how can I improve what we're doing, we as coaches immediately go to a new X&O or a new solution. Instead, you have your players. Your players have improved in a role. Have those one-on-one conversations on how they can continue to improve in that role, as opposed to trying to turn the big wheel of your entire team into playing faster or different shot selection. Go and just turn the small dial of each individual player, and that's where one plus one will begin to equal three. And that's where the best coaches and the best leaders that I've ever been around are masters at turning the dials on individuals to tune them into one path that the entire team's going on. Okay, actionable tip number two, identify keystone killers. And this is a new term that I don't think I've used before with our savvy coaching community, a keystone killer. A keystone killer is a foundational habit. It's borrowed on this term of keystone habit, and that James Clear has written about many, many times. A keystone habit is that when you change this one habit, many, many other things are affected. Well, a keystone killer is the opposite of that. It's a keystone that kills everything else that you're trying to do. In fact, for any of you listening live or recorded right now, I would challenge you just to think and jot down, what is the keystone killer? Because we can think of 8, 10, 12, we can make a list of all the things that kill our movement, kill our advantage, kill our spacing, kill our culture, kill our standards. We can think of all these small things. But if we were to make a list of 10 and then try to identify, okay, what's the one thing that tends to make us not run as fast in transition, that tends to make us not talk as much on defense, that tends to make us take selfish and bad shots? What's the keystone killer? If you can identify the keystone killer and then you choose to address that and hit that five different ways as opposed to hit five different things, you're going to see greater improvement. I was on a call with a college coach just yesterday, and what they've identified as a keystone killer at the Division I level, a keystone killer is playing off of one foot on drives. Just a keystone killer. It leads to more turnovers. It leads to lower field goal percentage. It leads to less passes and poor decisions. It leads to less spacing, all of it, because it doesn't allow their teammates to move. Their keystone killer is playing off of one foot, even when relatively open. So that's a keystone killer. So then we identified and worked through, okay, what are some measurements that you can use in your practices and in your games to shine more light on this keystone killer so that you can continue to get more buy-in and belief from every player on the team that that is a keystone killer. And if we can remove that killer, everything else is going to work better. What is that? And that keystone killer might change that you identify and work on from week to week, practice to practice. How do you know how many to address? How do you know when to move on and address another one? Here's a place where I'd suggest you start. One. It's usually a good place to start. One. Identify one keystone killer and measure it, shine light on it, build consequence around it, build reward around it. And then when that thing is no longer the keystone killer, because you've improved it, identify the one next keystone killer and shine all of your light on it. And I believe that you will get more traction when you simplify and narrow your focus in on one thing that you absolutely crush, as opposed to cherry picking small pieces of many other things. Okay, third actionable tip in order to navigate in-season adjustments. You can apply these things to individual players, apply these things to teams, apply these things to offense, defense, press, break, handling, pressure, whatever. You just approach your adjustments in this way. The principle isn't don't make adjustments. The principle is don't add new things mid-season. Get better at what you're committed to. Third actionable tip. Yeah. Don't add, attach. Don't add, attach. All right, let me give you some examples of this. Have you ever had trouble remembering someone's name? I know I have. I know that throughout my years and years of running big camps and 8 to 10 camps a summer, thousands of names, and every week trying to learn another 120 names, I've had trouble. And so the solution that I actually got from a book was, when you learn someone's name, attach their name to a memory that you already have. So you're not having to remember something brand new. You don't have this depth of experience with this person. So if someone told me their name was Christine, well, I would immediately think to any other Christines that I know, or someone whose, you know, last name was Christine, or a movie character named Christine, or a memory of a book character, Christine. And I would attach this new Christine's name that I learned to information I already had. And I was able to remember it quickly and I was able to use it right away. Same thing for you. Oh man, I just learned this. Here's a great example. Just learned this new Rose series from Mark. This is so good. The wrong thing to do would be to throw out everything that you've done as far as your 11 second game. The right thing to do would be to attach this to something you've already done. A great example, follow. So follow is a part of a Rose series. Chances are if you're a Raise the Space coach, you've thrown in an action spot to action spot ghost. So now all you do is you throw in the inverse to, you say, you don't call it follow, you call it ghost because your players already know ghost or whatever it is that you're calling it. And then you just throw in the inverse, you attach it to it. Or another way you can attach is like, okay, now on our 11 second game, whenever we run a ghost, we're gonna have the porch set a step up screen after the ghost. So we're not throwing out what we've already done, we're attaching. Or if you are zooming out of the, if you're blasting out of the corner to catch the 45, and if no domino, if no advantage, you're then going right into a zoom. Great. Well, just attach. Off of the zoom, then, we're just going to go pitch back step up screen, right? So we're attaching things. Instead of saying, okay, here's what we're doing, it's completely new, just attach to what they've already done. You can do this for individual player one-on-one skill development as well. And in fact, I did it last night. We were working on players owning pressure on the perimeter. And we worked on an own pivot, owning your space, meeting and greeting pressure. And we worked on power position on the left shoulder. So once we worked on handling the pressure, and we worked on that being our immediate response to pressure instead of a retreat pivot and standing tall and putting the ball above your head and getting weak. Once we had worked on that, something we've been working on for a while, I felt that the group was ready to attach. And so what we did was after our own pivot, we attached the Kobe step. And the Kobe step is just a footwork series against the pressure and on ball defender in order to create an advantage shot. So then we attached the Kobe step to the own pivot. Now, if I said, hey, let's just go into Kobe step and we didn't have the own pivot, then all of a sudden we're starting from scratch and it's gonna take us a lot longer to learn it. It's taken us 2 or 3 weeks to really get powerful and own our space with our own pivots. But within 30 minutes, they were Kobe stepping and reading shimmies on sweeps and on spins off the Kobe step. And we were able to go right to live play very, very quickly because we attached it to a footwork and a read. Here's what I do against pressure. We attached it and they were able to implement very, very quickly. That's the power of attaching. You can do it with individual skills. You can do it with offensive and defensive actions. You can do it with concepts. Let me review the principle and our three actionable tips. Let me mark this as well. The principle is don't add, get better. The three actionable ways that you can do this in the middle of your season with your adjustments are one, through one-on-one player conversations. It's easier to turn the dials with one-on-one player conversations than turn the big wheel of your entire team as you're trying to improve things mid-season. You're trying to get better, but not add new things. Two, identify keystone killers. Remove the obstacle that's keeping you from improving. Too often we want to add things to try to overcome the obstacle, when a lot of times it's just easier to just attack that obstacle and get it out of the way. That might be a person, that might be an attitude, that might be a principle of play that's not working. That might be a whatever. Just get it out of the way, all right? Third, attach to previous skills, principles, and actions. If you want to put in the Rose series, attach it to your 11 second game. Don't say we're doing something new on offense. Okay, the best way to do is to attach it and then teach the reads in plus one, plus one, and plus one. Let me finish today. Actually, let me check our questions in the chat, and then I'm going to do a quick film breakdown. And I will mark the film breakdown as well to send right over to Coach Carr. Also, just going to check our feedback. Okay, and 45 dies for Ryan. I'll address that also. So let's first take a look at a team that's doing really well, and what we might attach, what we might get better at in the middle of the season as a team is locking left and racing and spacing. And this is probably the rougher portion of the game for them. And so this is why Coach Carr said, hey, help us out here. We struggled. And the answer is, as I've already reviewed this film, Kevin and coaches, the answer is not system. The answer is player development and these one-on-one conversations and removing these keystone killers for players and attaching maybe the next read is exactly what we need to improve on here. Okay, so this is a great example, okay? We need to flow into our 11-second action way faster. So as we're coming up the street, if we are ever ahead of the dragon with no hunt up the street, we need to cross with the dribble. If we're even with the dragon when we are attempting to cross the street, because this is a cross the street situation. If we're even with the dragon, let's cross the street with the pass. If the dragon is ahead of you, wave them through. If the dragon's ahead of you, wave them through. Now there's so many ways that you can wave them through. You can actually wave them through into like a step up screen. You can wave them through into a hands or fingers cut. As we're learning the road series, you can wave them through just straight into a wave cut. And so this is where 21 needs to wave through. And I would wave them through like this. I would wave them through with the, it's just the invert of fingers, invert of hands. I would just wave them through right here at this 45 cut, all the way through, showing their hands, opening up a triple wide gap for her to cross the street and actually have another chance at the hunt. We don't flow into that fast enough. And so we miss a dominoes chance. Second, players, okay? This is too early in the shot clock for a five. And better shot would have been, there's a solid kick, a better shot would be a 7-2 number five on the left 45. You even have your little flare screen, your little pin going on. So this is just individual. This is not system, right? This is player one-on-one conversations here. So we can fix both these things with a conversation with our racker, number 23. We can, because we don't need 21 to know. I mean, 23 needs to tell them to go through. You know, fine action here. Good hunt, great advantage, right? But then a conversation with a conversation with the person that shot the five right here. So it always comes down to individual conversations. And then once you have the conversation, work on it in practice. Get your skill development. Okay, we have two players in transition here. We have two players on our transition defense that are pointed and docking. We have three that aren't, so we're going to struggle. Poor shot selection leads to transition on the other end as well. I would also say, okay, let's take a look at what we have here for rebounding. It looks to me that we have two players chasing, two players on the block chasing the rebound right here. It looks to me like we have three players doing nothing, right? So these are three players that are standing and watching. What kills your rebounding offensively and defensively is doing nothing. If you have five players chasing and attacking the glass, you're going to get some benefit. If you have five players sprinting back, you're going to get some benefit. If you have any combination of those two things, attacking the glass, checking back, you're going to get some benefit. But the more players you have doing neither of those two things, the more you're going to get less benefit and negative returns. We have three players doing that, right? So now we're late getting matched, right? We're not pointing and calling. And so we end up giving something open on the wing. We're confused. We have two players going to the ball and one player guarding two. So now we're already creating a disorganized defense for ourselves when there should be no reason if we have these three players getting back, pointing, calling, and talking instead of kind of doing nothing. Then we're able to get matched up a lot better. So therefore, we get into a long closeout. We get into negative dominoes, right? Even if number five is guarding number 23. Right? This is individual player skills. This isn't like, oh, we need a new defense. It's like, let's execute our defense better. Five should be on the wall right now. There's no one on the wall. When the ball's on the other side of the floor, five needs to be, in this scenario, even though they are confused, five needs to be on the wall, probably the low wall. And if she is on the low wall, we're going to get a contest at the rim right now. So again, it's just get better in what we're doing. What's another get better? Well, okay, we do have a contest, but this is not walling up, right? So we can identify, is this a keystone habit that we have to actually get better at contesting at the rim? I would argue that the transition point and call is more of a keystone habit. Okay, she doesn't foul great. I want us to get airborne with two hands in the air there. I want to make sure that we are connecting with that person outside the smile. We don't let people get in the smile. So if they're beat, we're connecting with them and closing that space outside the smile or outside the restricted area. So again, maybe you do a one-on-one wall defensive game. So here's a scenario where our dragon's arriving at the same time. That would be across the street, the pass, right? We're going to some sort of set here. Good. Shot selection. So, okay, here's another thing we've identified. Protection plans. If no nine, protection plan. There's no nine here. So this must be a protection plan. All right? She's drawn three. Right here, if we go into our protection plan, protection plan and spacing. Okay, we didn't stay locked deep in the corner, so we brought our defender in, and we didn't give her a wide open pass. If we go into a protection plan, we can unlock. That would be step one, two-player relationship. Step two, this player needs to space as well. Step two, this player would actually pull behind for our safety, okay? Step three, on this hunt, we want to be getting a 45 dive to the rim, right? If this player were to pull, that 45 dive is wide open. And so that would be the next thing that's going to help us get some greater advantages on those unlocks. Again, poor shot selection. That's our second one. Poor shot selection leads to transition. Nice outlet. Can we flow faster into our 11-second game? Another five. Off the dribble. Contested three early in the shot, right? Which again is, you know, in my opinion, the challenge of running too complex of plays, just coming right down into like a set. It's like, oh, well, this play, we better get a shot off of it, as opposed to, no, we just want space and dominoes off it. And when you get space and dominoes off it, you can play according to your principles, which is nines first, seven second, otherwise move the ball. We're trying to get dominoes. All right, we got to be tighter up at the point of the screen. There's too much drop here. So, we got to lock it too. So, as soon as that screen's coming, the on-ball defender, we got to press up and straddle this foot. If we are setting up for a switch and not a drop, okay? Drop is where the five is trying to get back. If we are setting up for a switch, which it looks like we are, we need to be attached to the screen and be big at the point of the screen. So five here screen, she presses and straddles this foot and chases down and over so she can stay attached to the top side of the screener. The screen defender is attached to the low hip of the screener so they can't slip and roll, and they're right there to meet them. Neither of those things happen, so we get hit, and we're dropped right here. Now we're setting a double screen. She should be the same thing. Five should still be chasing and attaching. She should be trying to show right here in case there is a pull-up threat. Right, chasing and attaching, if we're switching all of it, and she should be attached to the backside here as well. So because five wasn't attached, she splits those two screens. Oh dear, are we switching? Are we not? None. So again, this isn't like, oh, we got to change our scheme because it was looking like we were switching. It's like, let's get better. Don't add new screen coverages, get better at switching. Spacing, we got four players inside the arc right now. It's going to be really hard to get big dominoes. So again, I think that spacing is a keystone thing and reads are a keystone thing. You know, that flash of the high post, we want to deny it. At the very least, we're three-quartering that. We don't want to allow entries to the high post either. And this defender in the gap could be way more in the gap, and this defender doesn't need to be so attached. They should be out of box. We want to squeeze the middle to get the ball left. When the ball goes left, we want to build a strong wall to keep it left. Yeah, I think, and then a general theme on defense as an opportunity is just playing in a stance with urgency more. There's a lot of standing up going on right here, right? There's a lot of standing tall. You see moats are standing tall. Again, there's really no reason for us to, we want to, the ball's in the middle of the floor, squeeze the middle of the floor to get it out to the left. Look how bad Blue's spacing is right here, right? So get to the low wall, 15. Get some stinking pressure right here. Both of you, we want the passes over here. Get in a foot on the lane line, right? Get over. I think that get over and get attached to that player, be in contact with them. Yeah, and then even on the help, just super tall on this help right here, like 21, right? Play low until you jump. You're either low or you're airborne. So there's a lot of player development stuff on defense. Again, I think that's where it's like, okay, we know our systems. We don't need to spend 2 hours of practice on our systems. Let's spend 2 hours of practice getting players equipped with the skills they need to be better in our systems. All right, came into this one with a little more force. Good. I see a little fingers cut right there. Nice. I like the force you guys came into it with. Nice. We're getting to dominoes. Good. So that was the best possession that we've seen in this sequence. And I'm going to say it was a combination of the force and speed that we came into it with, along with the freedom of play. Not like we're trying to run a play, but it's like, let's just create dominoes and be aggressive. We still have two players that are doing nothing, nothing, and nothing on the shot attempt. You're getting to the ball, you're getting back. We've got to get those players creating some force with their movements as well. Better force on defense. 23 on the shot, doing nothing. Let's give her a rebounding roll. 23 on the shot here. Offensive defense, she's standing there. Like, she's not going to the ball. She's not checking her player. Doing neither. Got to do one or the other. So we give up a wide open three. All right, so, I love looking at that film. So many good things and so many opportunities as well. But I believe if you apply those three actionable tips to your in-season adjustments, and I'm not even going to say adjustments, I'm actually going to rename it improvement. In-season improvement looks like not adjusting. Don't add, get better at what you do. Do it with more one-on-one player conversations, eliminating keystone killers, and attaching to things you've already done. Thanks for hanging out with me today. I'm Tyler, this is Savvy, and we'll talk to you soon.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.